Siegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We need to talk with Stoney. This week when we were talking about Ozzy Osbourne, if you go back and watch the video of him singing the seventh inning stretch, there's Steve Stone standing there marveling at what was going on. Do you remember that, and what was going through your head if you do?
Well, I remember it clearly for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the whole thing when he messed up, you know, take me out to the ball game, that was an act. First of all, he's a professional singer, as we know. And he was a wonderful singer, and I certainly love Black Sabbath. But also, he had the words that were taped right on the monitor that was right in front of him. So if he wanted to sing those words, he could have.
Take me in, baby, not you. I don't remember what I have to do.
But he chose not to because he wanted to make it a show.
I didn't buy that from Steve Stone, by the way.
I certainly love Black Sabbath.
That I bought.
No, we didn't have any music when I was growing up.
It's that Gregorian chant.
Stoney has a lot of interest that you would be like, wait, really?
I'm going to go in there and crank...
some Black Sabbath, apparently.
Crank War Pigs in the back of the booth when I see him on Sunday.
I'm sure
John Triffin will enjoy that.
Have to hear that song again.
Generals gathered in their masses.
Yes.
Just like witches at black masses.
I love the music.
Evil minds that plot destruction.
Ooh.
Sorcerer of death's construction.
I certainly love Black Sabbath.
Listen, kid, sometimes things end up much better than you'd expect, all right? Think of it this way. When Black Sabbath fired Ozzy in 79, you would have figured it was all f***ing over.
Who's Black Sabbath?
Get the f*** off my property. I just want to know.
No virgins allowed.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, full boat for you today. We're here until 6 o'clock, and there's a lot of stuff that we have to get done. We'll see if there's any sort of maneuvering that goes on as the trade deadline closes in on the Cubs. What will they do? John Morosi is going to join us at 4 o'clock. We'll talk with him about all sorts of stuff. Chris Emma's got our Bears hit. He reminds me that the Shamar Turner injury is an ankle, suffered at practice last Wednesday, and now Biggs is reporting that he could be out for a month or more. Ron Coomer will join us at 5:25. Tanny did the open, but he had some place to be today. So for now, Alex is flying solo, which scares all of us. We are going to run 11 personnel. We got one of the Tylers coming in here in about 30 minutes.
You said the quiet part out loud about being scared for Alex, or is it scared for us?
It's scared for Alex. Yeah. More. Like, he'll be fine.
I just want him to just relax and just be, let it be what it is,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. By
it's
the way,
good.
That man
Hello.
Is Matt Spiegel. See, he got that part.
He did. He nailed that part.
There's a lot for us to get into inside of today's show, including talking about the weekend that was over at 35th and Shields.
Yeah, man, and a ton of other, like, baseball stuff. Hall of Fame ceremonies conveniently tucked in on a Sunday against a full slate of games. Bryce Harper yelling in the face of the commissioner inside a clubhouse. We need to discuss that.
Yep.
And, non-disciplinary paid leave for superstar relievers as it relates to gambling investigations. A light news day.
Gambling investigations and possible trade just scrubbed because this guy is now on the list. You're on the list.
But as you said, like, phones are blowing up, including mine, like people and friends and sources and semi-sources and people who want to be sources, people who think they're sources, and I don't have the heart to tell them they're not sources.
Semi-sources is great. Didn't they do closing time?
I think they did, as a matter of fact. So it's like, all right, you're trying to sort through all the rubble that is trade deadline shenanigans, but we'll be on top of it. But you came in hot today, in this morning in the thread and pregame, saying that there's stuff that was said over the weekend that we need to hear, because we spent a lot of time dissecting Ben and Caleb, and we always will. There's something you heard that rejiggers some things.
Yes, and I sent a couple text messages like after, because I watched it yesterday, and I was sitting there going, oh, that's interesting. We should probably talk about that. And I said, hey, I'm reading this like this. Am I reading it correctly since you were in the room? And these people were like, yes, that is how pretty much all of us read this. You know how we've been talking about the experience of Caleb was, and it's been clunky. I'm not really that worried, and you and I discussed it a little bit last week. If things still look bad at the end of this week, then maybe I'll worry, but this is a new system, so I'm expecting there to be some bumps.
And some days have been very bumpy. Some days have not. Even over the weekend, some days were not.
Correct.
As we catch up.
Correct. But I wanted you to hear this from Ben, because you and I have been trying to figure out, like, well, is Caleb... Is this like his rookie year all over again? No, it can't be, right? Because he played 17 games last year and he threw for over 3,000 yards. And there's got to be something in that that allows him to fast track picking up this new system. Ben Johnson is not here for that theory.
As you work with Caleb, a lot of what you're describing over the last 6 months or so since you've been here is literally from the ground up with his footwork. How much... or what is reasonable to expect to have carried over from last year? As you try to teach him, what does he already have from playing a full season?
There really isn't a ton of carryover from what he was asked to do, the play calls or anything of that nature. I mean, he's always been very comfortable as a shotgun quarterback going back to college and even last year. He's very comfortable in a two-minute setting. He's very comfortable with tempo-type plays. And so now we're asking him to be a little bit more structured in terms of the play calls. Sometimes there's multiple calls. You know, there's shifts, there's motions. There's a lot more going on mentally than probably there's ever been for him. And so at some point, this thing will start slowing down, and he's going to be able to catch up, and his physical ability will take over from there. But right now, because mentally it is what it is, he's playing a little bit slower than what he's capable of.
Is there anything that is... I mean, he's not a rookie. Is there anything that you get from those 17 games last year, at least in seeing defenses, seeing personnel? Is there anything that is already built?
Yeah, because I wasn't here, I can't speak entirely to that. But sure, I think he understands what a training camp's going to be about. He knows what a game week is going to look like. There's some things that hopefully the anxiety level goes down because, oh, okay, I know what to expect now, but it's still, there's a lot different than what there was for him a year ago.
Oh, I'm so glad you included the follow-up.
So, Speaks, you read it like I read it. Ben Johnson's telling you that basically he learned nothing last year.
Nothing. That sounded like it is a waste. That rookie year that they flat out wasted, which we suspected, a full year of potential development for a number one overall pick. That answer on the follow-up, like, that's Jason Leisure trying to say, well, then there must
throw
be
something out there.
There must be something. And Ben's like, yeah, no. Like, what training camp looks like, what a week of preparation looks like.
So
wow.
You have to realize now. That, and there's another thing in there that I want to get your thoughts on too, but you have to realize now that we're kind of dealing with a rookie quarterback again. He is starting from nothing. So the fact that it does look a little clunky and bumpy, I actually have more sympathy and empathy for it now when you hear Ben Johnson be like, no, you know those guys who were here? Here's what Ben Johnson told you. You know those guys who were here last year working with Caleb?
Yeah.
They were a bunch of idiots. So we have to unlearn some stuff, and now we're asking him to do stuff that he's never done before. So we've got to deprogram him, then reprogram him to what it is that we want to do.
Makes me want to go back and think about schematically what Waldron was thinking. Was he just trying to, like, let Caleb be Caleb and do a little bit more? You know, like a little bit more based on that, because they were just letting Caleb do a lot of Caleb things and be in the gun an awful lot. And Ben is saying, no, this is completely unlike everything we did last year. I think, which I've known intellectually, but to hear it that starkly is quite something.
It's hard to believe that the experience of being an NFL quarterback, going through 17 games, that there isn't something that they feel like they can get. But I kept thinking about this weekend because, you know, I love my comic book movies. There's this point during Avengers Endgame where Loki is trying to convince Thanos that he should go back to Earth with him because he goes, well, you'll need an experienced tour guide. And Thanos is like, if you count failure as experience, then sure. And that's what this felt like to me. Like, all of that failure was not the experience that anyone wanted for Caleb. And then Ben Johnson is like, nah, there wasn't a lot there for us to be able to do with him. And then you get into, like, the mechanics of it, Speaks. The mechanics of we are asking him to do some different stuff. Hmm. And I think that he kind of answered our question without me having to ask the question.
Which one?
The one about whether or not they want Caleb to take some risk.
Yes.
To kind of play a little bit of depth finder. And Courtney Cronin had asked a question that is similar to that this weekend. The answer is no. They do want him to play a little bit more like Jared Goff. And then if a play breaks down, then go crazy. Do all the crazy cool stuff that you can do.
That's
but that is not the goal immediately, is for them to build it so that he can thrive with his athleticism and kind of the twitchy stuff that he's able to do in the pocket.
That makes sense to me. Actually, to be like, nah, just learn what the safe thing is. Learn what the safe thing is. Do the safe thing, and that's that. So as soon as you do the safe thing and you know what that is, then maybe every once in a while you can push the envelope a little bit and do the other thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's an important thing because this conversation of like, I don't know, are you worried or not? And it sounds like, I mean, you're still the mayor of Worrytown, but you're doing a pretty even-handed job. You're reaching across the aisle right now.
I mean, you have to do that, Speaks. It's very important.
You are. You're like, to the non-denizens of Worrytown, you're like, we don't need just population for the sake of populating.
No, you got to come over here filled with absolute worry. We don't want you to just come over here because you feel like you should.
Right. Because that's, in the end, that'll lower the property value.
Yeah, we don't need that.
You got some non-worriers living in Worrytown.
Yeah, we can't have that.
No, you can't have that. So, no, I admire your leadership as the mayor.
And Ben was also kind of saying to everyone that was assembled up there that the reason that it will look like, and we're going to see it in practice, and we might even see it in the games and the joint practices.
Yeah.
It's going to look like Case knows a lot more about this offense is because he does. He does, and he's done this before. Uh-huh. So this is not foreign to him. So if your expectation, like, I know that a lot of people are like, man, this is it. We got the guy. We got the coach. I'm just saying that you should probably recalibrate expectations for a little bumpiness. And it's funny because someone that said to me, someone who covers the team had said to me, this is going to be a really interesting 12 weeks for the Bears. And so I started doing the math, and I'm like, oh, so take them through the first 2 months of the season on this because of where the quarterback is.
Yeah, it's a really interesting first couple of months here for Bears fans. These conversations have found me out in the wild.
Oh, yeah, sure. Everyone wants to talk Bears.
And a lot of people are like, I don't know, man, Caleb, I don't know, because they see this stuff. And it's a question of like, all right, how much of a conversation do I actually want to have? I'm not at work right now, yada, yada. But then you when you do know some stuff and you can help with some context, it's really valuable. All right, that's important stuff to hear, that flat out call of zero value in the
entire important part of having tactics.
Yeah. I hope the people that were watching on Twitch really could see your face when that 7.5 month pregnant pause happened after the second question.
Seriously, the fact that there's nothing there. And you know what? There's even more context in a column from a national football guy today about this. Let's continue the conversation. Lots of Cubs Sox at 3:00, and we got a lot of Cubs Brewers on the show for you and everything like that, Lawrence. But there's even more context on how to feel about Caleb's ramp up period under Ben Johnson that I want to bring to you.
So let's get into that, and we appreciate you hanging out with us. It's a beautiful day. We know that you have all sorts of options, so we are pleased that you pick Spiegel and Holmes as your choice. We will come back, talk a lot more Bears. Don't worry though, at 3:00 we are going to shift things over to what was a very interesting weekend over on the South Side. So don't go anywhere. We got you until 6 o'clock at Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
This is the mayor talking.
All right, all right.
I've been used to tough coaching throughout my years. I've had different type of personalities throughout my years of coaching, but I would say majority of my career of playing football has been tough coaching, and it's greatly appreciated because that's what you need to be able to, at this level especially, to be able to go out there and execute and play at your best is, somebody up on you, coaching you hard and pushing you, and that could be teammates and that could be coaches. We're working on the, leading by example. We're working on the teammates aspect of it because that's how you go win. That's elite teams is when the players are leading. But, in the beginning, coach has set the example of how he wants things run and the standard. And then, from there, we take it and, we lead.
It's Caleb Williams talking about tough coaching that he's had to deal with. And now he is face-to-face with the toughest challenge of his life. Ben Johnson and what Ben Johnson wants done on this offense. There was one thing, and I should have pointed it out to Alex, but there was one thing that you could tell that Ben Johnson, like the switch flipped on him, where they were talking to him about like all of the things and like it not looking as good as it probably could look. And he was like, yeah, the center exchange. Yeah, we can't have that. That's something we can't have. We can't have that. That's got to be like, I was like, oh, that's the trigger. That thing right there is something that bothers you.
I understand. I got to tell you, when the mayoral music is playing there, it's hard for me just not to picture you like in a 3-piece suit, sitting there trying to like green light some funding for like a third private office. Something like that. You're seeing if you can like put a Jamaican vacation on your expense account.
I'm not running the township of Thornton. I'm running Worry Town. It's a whole different thing.
Okay. See if you can buy a couple more show horses your collection.
I'm not the mayor of Dalton.
Was it Dixon where like she worked as like the city clerk or something? She worked with the finance and like, wow, she came into a lot of money. Yeah, it's really interesting.
I wonder how that happened. Yeah,
she bought another horse.
There's a lot of trips to Las Vegas all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. It's hard not to picture you as that. But I was reading Albert Breer today, and a lot of times, and let me ask you this because it's certainly my perception. Sometimes when the national guy comes to town, like the coach or the GM might give him a little something.
Especially when they probably have had a relationship prior
right.
when someone was an assistant.
So Albert Breer watched practice on Friday morning and wrote about it on SI.com with his NFL takeaways today. And that was the rough practice on Friday morning, and was trying to figure out what was going on. And Declan Doyle and Ben Johnson told Albert Breer that the period in the morning where Caleb really struggled the most, those first few throws, is what the Bears call their wake-up period at the start of practice, where the defense sends pressure at the offense to give Dennis Allen's group the work it needs and also to test Williams. It intentionally stresses Williams after the snap, yes, but more so, it's about forcing him to do the right thing before the snap with what the quarterback refers to casually as PSP, pre-snap procedure. The Bears want to see the right checks. They want to see the right communication. They want to see Williams' eyes in the right place. They know it's not automatic. They also think that if they can accelerate the volume of things William is seeing and dealing with, it will accelerate his growth and also their knowledge of what he can and can't do heading into his second season as a pro. So intentionally stressing him pre-snap.
Pushing to failure to grow.
Yes. And that's where we've been pretty hard on him since the beginning, Ben Johnson said, being consistent, true to his thought process pre-snap. So add that in, Mr. Mayor, to your denizens of Worrytown and what seems to be, frankly, a delightful lack of recruitment from you today to join you in Worrytown, at least about the quarterback early on in the process.
I think that it's important because, look, we tend to go through this every year. Now, unfortunately, we tend to go through this every year because the quarterback has not been up to their draft expectation.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, people are excited to have football back. People want this Bear season to be dope And I'm right there with them. It's a lot more fun when the Bears are good.
Yeah, man.
It's because, I mean, we got success from last season. And that's a rarity. The Bears were a very strange cocktail of being bad and also interesting, which I think led to us having success as a show.
I think that's true. And but we'd much rather they'd be good and interesting.
Yes.
And they're going to be interesting this year no matter what.
I agree, but it would be nice if they're good. So keeping all of that in mind, like, I want to try and be fair, and I want people to understand that what Caleb is being asked to do is completely foreign from what it is that he was doing before. And I do like that it's an interesting approach. Like, there are some coaches who would say, we will try to boost his confidence throughout this process no matter what.
Right, and that's not what they're doing. So I think
we are trying to destroy you so that you understand how far you have to go.
That sounds like, I want to say military in nature in terms of a Marine boot camp, but I also want to say a smaller scale of things, like if you ever pledged a fraternity, they try to break you of the way you think about groups and brotherhoods so you can relearn it. Like, there's a million different things like that.
Lifting weights itself, where you lift to failure so that your muscles can actually grow.
Well, that's interesting. So, and because Ben is a weightlifter as well, as we know. But this idea of trying to break him of the habits that last year did not break him of. Last year was a wasted year in terms of breaking those habits.
But the cool thing is that they're hopefully going to give him the tools to help get him versus what it is that we saw last year. Here's our guy, Declan Doyle, talking about that process that Speaks just read about.
That's very intentional. That's trying to get our defensive pressures in against some of the stuff we're going to do offensively. We have contingency plans for, you know, what they are going to bring at us. And so the quarterback operating, getting the offense on the same page as far as, you know, checking plays, checking protections, things like that. But that's all a part of the scripted practice. It's trying to get the defense right with their pressure patterns and the way they're going to play coverage on the back end. And then it's getting our quarterbacks used to whether we're throwing the ball or, you know, up front handling the movement with those run schemes.
You know, it's interesting because Declan did give us that the other day, and Alex Kuhn had heard it and we played it and talked about it. But something about the way that Albert wrote it, you know, maybe that's the skills of a writer, maybe that's his intention or whatever it is, or some of the background and the context that he had on it makes it even more digestible in some ways.
Oh, and the botched snaps, Ben Johnson called it high school Harry stuff.
Oh,
like, we got rid of the high school Harry stuff.
That's too bad.
He said it was happening like once a practice.
Can't have that.
Not that high school Harry stuff.
Poor Harry.
Yeah, what did he do?
Harry was a third string quarterback who never should have played in the high school game.
No, but he was forced to, and he went out there and he did his best.
No, he didn't. He botched every snap.
He didn't.
That's why they call it high school Harry.
But he's a high school player.
That was his thing.
He's third string.
Shout out to all the listeners who are like, oh my God, you know about the story from Dixon. Oh yeah, Rita Crundwell was her name. She was the comptroller and the treasurer of Dixon for 40 years, Lawrence. She was fired and arrested in April of 2012 after she had been discovered to have embezzled $53.7 million from the city of Dixon.
That's a lot.
To support her championship American quarter horse breeding operation. It makes it even sadder and funnier because they were quarter horses. They're like these little
guys. just little guys.
Little guys.
Jokic probably went in there and bought everything.
Dude, how about that?
People are all Jokic, man.
He was emotional because his horse won.
But not emotional when they won the NBA championship. Hey,
man.
Some people have different levels.
Be who you are.
Be you. It says it on the card. Wait, that's a different coach. Anyway, we need to take a break. When we come back, it was a really interesting weekend that happened at 35th and Shields between the Cubs and the White Sox. Spiegs was there. He was there yesterday and has got stories.
But you made something happen, Lawrence, which we should kick off the conversation. Something that this show made happen through you. We'll kick it off.
All right, we'll do all of that stuff. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on The Score.